Hey, welcome back, everybody. 3:35 is the time here at 9:10 a.m. The Voice of Detroit. I'm Cliff Russell. This is the Cliff Russell Show. And we are very pleased to welcome into the studio attorney Nancy Stone with the matrimonial law firm of Rotter & Stone. That's right. She gets an applause for coming into the studio and being with us. Attorney Stone, first of all, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. We have the holidays approaching. Thanksgiving coming up. A lot of turkeys and hams in the freezers right now. Christmas, of course, coming up. Traditionally considered to be a happy time for a lot of families. But if you are a family of divorce, this could be a very traumatic time of the year. Could you characterize what this holiday season means for families and children in particular of divorce?
Yes, it really can be. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think everybody approaches the holiday as wanting it to be one of joy and fun and a happy family time. But unfortunately, the reality is that that's not always the case, especially when it comes to divorced families. You have kids that may be stuck in the middle of two different families, and how do we deal with that?
I coached, and I don't want to get into my stories, but I coached and taught a few years ago. And I recall one of my players in particular being very depressed around the holiday season. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. Her parents were involved in a very bitter fight over who would get her for the holidays to take them to the family reunion, to the point where she was in tears. Talk more about how this impacts the children and what we need to be aware of that the children are going through.
It impacts them tremendously. And I think that the parents, I know it's easier said than done, but they're really doing a disservice to those children by not having this planned in advance and worked out, especially hopefully in your judgment of divorce, that you be as specific as possible as to the holidays, have them rotate every year so you know, your children know where they will be in advance for these very important holidays. Of course, unexpected things happen and changes arise. Try to deal with it early, maybe in the fall. You have to be a planner. You can't leave this to last minute and let the kids suffer.
Are you saying this is something that should have been worked out during the divorce settlement, or as two sensible adults, you should be able to talk about it?
Both. Ideally, it should be worked out in your judgment of divorce. At Rotter & Stone, we always tell our clients, come into your negotiations with a list of the most important holidays to your family and a description of how you've celebrated those in the past so that you can be ready and try to be as specific as possible in your judgment and cover as much as possible so that it's not left to you just to decide from year to year with your spouse when you might not be getting along that well.
Probably you're not getting along that well if you're going through divorce. Everybody wants the kids for the holiday. If you can't come to a consensus, is that something that a judge or a magistrate will work out?
Yes. So let's say your judgment isn't as specific as it could be, and you have some open-ended holidays and logistics in there. If you and your ex-spouse can't agree, then you do have to go to court, and you do have to have a judge decide. Now, as wonderful as our judges are, and they are great, wouldn't it be better if the two of you could work it out? You know your family, you know your traditions, your customs, your religious beliefs, and how your children like to celebrate the holidays. Wouldn't it be better for the two of you to try to work that out? But it doesn't always happen, and we do have to get the court involved.
I think I'm hearing you say, Attorney Nancy Stone, that some of these parents need to get out of their feelings and stop being so selfish and think about the children.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. Yeah, you said it so perfectly. I was trying to dance around that, be delicate, but you're right. And that's what needs to happen here. I think that people get very defensive. We're talking about families, and they have not only themselves to deal with, but their parents and their relatives who are saying, why aren't the kids coming for Christmas? And where are the kids? And the pressure. There's already a lot of pressure. And why? I thought you were traveling into town this year and things like that. So I understand where parents are coming from. They're getting a lot of pressure. They need to really try to set that aside and think about their kids and do some advanced planning.
Is it a good idea to just alternate? This Christmas, they go to your dad's house. This Christmas, they go to my mom's house, so on and so forth.
I think that's a wonderful idea. And we do that a lot in our judgments, and it seems to work out very well. Now, there are ways to do it. You can be creative. For example, at Rodder and Stone, we like to say, let's have two nights of Thanksgiving. So one night, the Thursday night, the actual night of Thanksgiving, the children will be with one family. And why not have a second dinner on Friday evening where the children can be with the other family? And it's two nights of Thanksgiving. It's great for the, it's fun for the kids. The families get to see the both sides, you know, both
right.
sides of the family get to see the kids.
Right. There's got to be some times when you feel like you're as much counselor as attorney when it comes to dealing
yes.
with these divorced families.
Yes. We do do some counseling. We try to, you know, keep it within the legal realm, but you can't right. help but, you know, getting involved in some of the counseling issues. And of course, we always, you know, will refer to a therapist if needed.
Let me remind everybody that our very special guest in the studio, attorney Nancy Stone of Rodder and Stone, they are matrimonial lawyers. And we're talking about divorce. We're going to talk about a new law change that's coming up too, but we're talking about divorce, the holidays, they're coming up. Very, very traumatic for families, especially for the children. And if you have a question or comment, call us at 313-209-9000, 313-209-9000. Right now, I understand that what is best for the children, what is the best resolution, is kind of the guiding principle for how they determine custody of children, where children go for holidays. But there is a law that has been proposed, House Bill 4691, called the Michigan Shared Parenting Act, and I know that you have some issues with that proposed law.
Yes, I do. So right now, and since the 1970s, the law has been that the court will look at the best interests of the children factors. There are a number of factors that the courts will look at, and parenting time is determined on a case-by-case basis. So what I mean is each family will be looked at individually. What this proposed law would do would be to change that and have a presumption that it should be joint legal custody and shared equal parenting time for all families. And that's not always in the best interest of the children.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, but there are probably some flies in the ointment that make that impractical sometimes.
Right. And I think the proponents have seen and done studies that there's inconsistencies among counties as to how parenting time is dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be dependent on which court you're in or which judge. And so I think that the proponents are trying to create more consistency among the courts. The opponents of it feel that it should be inconsistent because it's looking at each family differently. And each family should have its own determination based on what they do and what's in the best interest of their children.
So this proposed legislation is kind of a one-size-fits-all when that's not really the way things work in divorce.
That's exactly right. And a one-size-fits-all could be could not be a good thing for the kids.
Mm-hmm. How do the kids suffer? We've talked a little bit about that, but I don't think we can emphasize that enough. When mom and dad are warring over who gets custody of the kids, and a lot of times a dispute has nothing to do with the kids. They're still mad about something that happened 2 years ago, and they play it out through the kids, unfortunately. But could you talk more about how that impacts the kids? From what I saw in my experience, it affected academic performance. It affected social performance and interaction with other children. I suspect, and I don't have the information, that it may even increase levels of depression or even suicide among young people. You would know more about that than I do, Attorney Stone.
Yes, we do see that in very contentious divorces that you do with children. You do see depression. You definitely can see academic troubles, lashing out, getting into trouble, not being able to express why. It can be very, very sad and difficult for the kids. You know, there are ways to deal with it, to help your children with getting them a therapist, using the friend of the court systems that have family counselors, and really being aware of how this is impacting your kids and really trying to get them help during this time. They will flounder.
Is there a website or a reference of material that you would recommend that people go to learn a lot more about this issue?
Yes, the friend of the court. In Oakland County, I know in Wayne County, have handbooks online. Mm-hmm. They have questions and answers. and very good resources right there, and links to other resources to help with how to deal with children in divorce. I know Oakland County also has a SMILE program, and they show a video on how to treat each other, parents, during the divorce process to help the children better deal with it.
All right. Again, a very special guest is Attorney Nancy Stone of Rotter & Stone, at number 313-209-9000. I'm going to talk more about holiday custody of the kids among divorcees in just a second, but just in divorce in general, I've heard so many stories. I've heard a number of attorneys say that you need to know whether you should file the divorce or let the spouse file the divorce. And it's important who files first or who doesn't file first. Is that true? When should one file for a divorce?
Cliff, I can't tell you how many times people walk into Rotter & Stone and ask that exact question. Should I file first? Should I wait? You know, should I race to the courthouse? Things of that nature. It just comes up all the time. And the answer is interesting. It really doesn't matter that much who filed. Who files first? In this, unlike a contract case where you want to be the plaintiff and whatnot, or, you know, you don't want to be the defendant, in a divorce, it really doesn't matter that much in the actual disposition or the end of your case as to who filed the divorce action first. Sometimes it can come into play where one of the spouses has surprised the other spouse and files, and that can be very jarring. But if you're planning this and you know that you do want to get divorced, it really doesn't make that much of a difference.
Because the thinking is a judge may look more favorably on the person who didn't file, that this other person is the one who's trying to disrupt the relationship, and so they're going to be penalized.
Right, and that's a very good point, because in Michigan, we are a no-fault divorce state. And meaning that you do not have to prove fault of the other party in order to get divorced. So that's something, you know, not all states are like that, but Michigan is a no-fault divorce state. So that's another reason why it doesn't matter that much who files first.
So is there a checklist of things that you should go through before you file for a divorce so that you are absolutely prepared?
Definitely. And I think we've been talking about the children a lot. And I think that knowing how you want to deal with the children in advance is a very good thing to put on your checklist. Knowing how much time you think you want in parenting time, the impact on the children, and trying to determine the timing of it for the children. Are they about to leave for college? Are they you know, in preschool, is this a good time before they start kindergarten and you're getting situated in a school district? And, you know, sometimes the timing with children can be important. So, yes, there are a number of things to look at. You should make sure, find some financial reasons, checklist items to look over, make sure you have your tax returns in order. I could go on and on.
Right. And frankly, there are a lot of folks who say they want to try to sock away as much money or protect their money so that they have to pay less once they get a divorce granted. Is that a good strategy? Do you need to look at your finances and how much you're going to pay before you enter a divorce?
Well, divorce can be expensive. So that is something to look at as far as are you able to pay for an attorney right now?
And I'm talking about paying the other spouse.
And then so there's the process of divorce is expensive. And then the paying of the other spouse, you might be paying alimony, or spousal support, and child support, and you know, and you're going to be there's going to be two households instead of one, and so yes, it's more expensive, so it's not always the best financial time to file for divorce.
Right. Well, there's an old song that says it's cheaper to keep her.
right. So that's certainly the case in certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. So right now it's, you know, when you see the how homes are not as underwater as much right now and the economy's a little bit better, you do see more divorces.
Right. Is it illegal or unethical, though, to try to protect your money that you have to pay, not the attorney, but your former spouse? I mean, are there strategies that you can take to maybe hide or shelter your money in a legal way?
No.
Okay, so you can't do
I really
that.
Do not know that you are not supposed to hide or siphon away money offshore or anything like that. And if you do have a good lawyer, they will find that.
Right. Right. But how many times have people asked you if you could help them do that?
Oh, gosh. It's a very common question. It's a very good question.
Yes.
That's probably not a good idea.
Let's go to Marissa. She's on line one right now. Hey, Marissa, thanks for calling. You're on with attorney Nancy Stone of Rotter & Stone Matrimonial Law.
Hi. I just want to share a personal experience. I am a child of divorce, and my parents have been divorced for about 17 years, and I'm 18, and so all of my childhood has just been, you know, fights and just problems with divorce, and I just want to say, like, that's so true that all of the holidays that I've experienced have been so terrible, and I would dread them coming, and I'm so thankful that you guys are bringing attention to this, because when I was younger, I felt alone, you know, so
yes.
It's nice that you guys are bringing attention to this, and like I'm just now getting over everything and finally like sticking up for what I want instead of what my parents wanted, because I felt like a possession that they just fought over all the time. So it's very nice that you guys are bringing attention to this.
Marissa, I can't thank you enough for sharing your story and calling. We wish you nothing but the best. I'm happy to hear that you're getting over that. And she's kind of case in point of what you were talking about.
Yes, exactly. Is she still on the line?
No, she's left us now, right.
Yeah, because I wonder from, you know, somebody like that who's actually experienced this, what could have been done better? What would have made it easier for her? You know, and I think that's a good thing for people in the family divorce business to ask those. She's a perfect example of an 18-year-old who's just went through it. And what could be done better? Better planning, if she knew in advance where she was going to be each holiday and, you know, things like that. So
let's get a plug in for Rotter & Stone. How can folks get in touch with you, either website, telephone, whatever, to take advantage of your matrimonial expertise?
Thank you very much. So Rotter & Stone, you can reach us at our office, which is at 248-855-5200, and our website, Rotter Stone, that's R-O-T-T-E-R, stone.com, and we're in downtown Franklin near the cider mill.
Okay, and I take it you are either advocating or urging people to express their opposition to House Bill 4691.
Yes, I do. I know that the family law section of the Michigan State Bar has been very active in opposing that bill and other groups as well.
Mm-hmm. When someone has made the decision to file for a divorce, what long-term planning do you recommend that they do? Because I understand, you know, people get caught up in the emotion. I got to get away from this person. I can't live with them anymore. And then they get through it, or get, you know, go through a divorce, and it's like, okay, how am I going to live? How am I going to pay my bills? Are there financial considerations that you would recommend people take to think this thing through?
Yes, definitely. That happens a lot. We get people that come in that are just so angry and upset that they can't see past that day, let alone what is life going to be like after this divorce. Sometimes they're in denial. Is this really happening? So that's a great question. And we do try, we do have a motto that says, after the divorce is final, you will feel whole again. And that we really do try at our law firm to make sure that when they're almost like family by the end of the divorce, and when we put them back out into the world, we want them to, our clients to have a good financial plan and to feel comfortable about their future and to know, their budget and what their finances will be.
Let's take another call. We've got John on line one. Hey, John, thanks for calling. You're on with attorney Nancy Stone.
How you doing? How you doing, Cliff?
Good.
Oh, sure. I want to ask the attorney. I had a partner. He had an inheritance while he was married. And was that wife also, if she can she claim any of that inheritance?
So
during the divorce?
That's a good question. The inheritance will be considered separate property of the person that inherited it unless it's commingled with other funds. So let's say you get an inheritance, you put it in a bank account, and you let it sit there, and it's in your own name, and you don't touch it. It will be considered your separate property, and you won't have to share it. On the other hand, let's say you take that money and you put it into your joint checking account, mm-hmm. and you guys use the money and you commingle it and use some of her vacation, and then you put other monies into it, and now you can't, it's not determinable where the inheritance is anymore, of whether it's even been spent. So you do have to keep that separate.
Are prenuptial agreements a good thing?
You're hitting all the good ones.
Put a smile on your face, right?
Right. Well, there's been some recent rulings that in the courts that have been discussing prenup agreements, but they can be very good. If, for example, an inheritance, if you've inherited a lot of money mm-hmm. and you're about to get married, it's an extra safety net so that you can protect your separate finances. If you don't have any, if you're coming right. into the marriage without any of your separate money or right. funds, it's really probably not necessary.
Okay. But a prenup is not a bad idea to examine, at the very least.
Yes. Especially maybe in a second marriage, or where you've been in mm-hmm. business for quite a long time, or you have, you know, a lot of earnings.
Right. Interesting. Once somebody gets a divorce and remarries, does that impact the terms of the first marriage?
It shouldn't. You should have, you know, every mm-hmm. divorce will have a judgment of divorce. Right. That
and let me be specific. Okay. I've heard that if a person is paying alimony or even spousal support, which is alimony, or child support, but then the person receiving it remarries, then the original spouse doesn't have to pay anything anymore. Is that fact or fiction?
That is true. Most often the judgment of divorce will say with respect to alimony or spousal support, it terminates upon remarriage.
Okay.
So that's most often in there. Now, child support is always modifiable.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're divorced, you get remarried, and now you have more children with your new spouse, and it's too expensive to be paying what you were paying when you had two children to support. Now you have four children to support, even though they're from two different marriages. So
yes.
it's modifiable. So you have to go to court and explain the change in circumstance and try to get a modification.
Right. And, of course, the best way to do that is to contact Rotter and Stone and let them represent you in court. Tell us again, before we run out of time, how people can contact Rotter and Stone and take advantage of your services.
Thank you so much. So, yes, we're at 248-855-5200, and you can check us out on our website, rotterstone.com.
It is a subject that is taboo to some, certainly uncomfortable to a lot of others, but very, very prevalent in our society. So I thank you so much, Nancy Stone, for being here today to discuss this. And as issues of divorce and matrimony come up in the future, I hope we can call on you again to have you come in and talk to us.
I would love that. Thank you very much for having me.
One more quick question, too.
Sure.
A lot of men feel that the courts are opposed to them. You've got law firms that specialize in men. Is that true or not?
Well, that's, I think, the proponents of this House bill believe that most often it turns out that the best interest factors weigh in favor of the mother, who's the one oftentimes that are home with the children more. So, you know, there are law firms out there that do specialize in helping men, especially with kids.
And that was a great non-answer. We got to bring you back in and talk about it. Thank you again so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Attorney Nancy Stone of Rotter and Stone Matrimonial Law. Fascinating discussion on a very uncomfortable subject for a lot. Thank you again. We will have you back. Well, I got to get out of the way. Big Spud is about to come in here and do his thing and do it well. So I'm going to get out of this chair. But I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Have a wonderful evening. Much love, Ms. Sharissa. And I'm out of here. This is 910 AM, the voice of Detroit.